You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are talking
while married. Well, how does it feel to be in your new offices today?
My God, I can't believe we moved the offices on Saturday, and in one day, basically, we got the whole darn thing moved, and there was no downtime, and we just hit the ground running on Monday again and started all over.
Yep, I love having all the new space. So what's going on in the news today? I haven't been looking too much today.
Well, I got a bone to pick, and this whole... you know, DNC thing with the lawsuits against Russia and with Trump's campaign. I mean, it's so worthless. It's so distracting. They're not going to get anything accomplished with this. You know, what bothers me about this and my friends is that they just cannot seem to get over the fact that we elected a president of the United States that they just don't happen to like. And that's what this is all about for me.
Well, it is all about that. And somebody, it has to be somebody's fault. And everything in life seems to have to be somebody else's fault. So it must be that there's collusion or some sort of nefarious thing going on here that Trump got elected and Hillary didn't. And this is just, it's distracting. It's not allowing us to move forward. They've got this lawsuit against just everybody, against lots of people in the Trump administration, in his campaign, who are now in his administration, against WikiLeaks, against Russia as well.
Well, you know, there's repercussions for everything that you do, okay? So when you start this process, and, you know, I deal with legal things all the time. When you start this process, and in this case... you know, they're just throwing spaghetti against the wall to see what's going to stick, but they forget that there is a discovery process where now the Trump administration, because they've countersued, they get to file, you know, these things called interrogatories, which are questions that demand answers, and they get to get into all the files of the DNC. Now, the DNC gets to, you know, get into appropriate files in the Trump campaign, but here's the difference. We've been playing around with this thing. We got Mueller involved in this thing for the past year or so, and there's been no evidence of any collusion or anything. But there's been a lot of evidence on the part of Hillary Clinton and Donna Brazile and Debbie Wasserman Schultz and all the players about how they colluded to not only knock poor, Bernie Sanders out of the the ring, but also, to try to usurp what the Trump campaign was doing.
Well, and win her the nomination.
Well,
I mean, there was definite collusion for that, and that's something that's been shown, and also kind of collusion with the mainstream media to promote Hillary.
And Donna Brazile said as much when she wrote that book.
Right.
I think she'll be a primary witness for the defense, which is going to be Trump's side. But, you know, I like what you said. This does not move our country forward whatsoever. We've got a lot of things that we need to do in this country with respect to infrastructure, with respect to jobs, with respect to trade, and, our borders. And this is an obstruction and a fight against every single thing that I think mainstream America, not the mainstream media, but mainstream America wants to do.
Right. And obstruction is the key word here, because every single thing our president has tried to do is being obstructed. I mean, just look at all of the people that he has waiting in the wings to be approved by Congress or Senate for their job positions. This is historic. There's never been anybody that has been obstructed like this president. And this is hurting all of us as Americans. So it really bothers me that that's the case. And, you know, that this lawsuit is, I just don't even understand. It's kind of redundant because didn't we hire Mueller to find out all these things? And now we're filing a lawsuit anyway. We're just double and tripling down on the stupidity that's been going on for the last year.
Well, listen, anybody can go to the, this would be United States District Court, I think. You could go to the district court and you can plunk down a couple of $100. You know, they're going to file this in Washington, D.C., which is a District of Columbia. Really doesn't matter as long as there's jurisdiction. So it's probably going to be a federal court action. It's certainly not going to be a District of Columbia action because they're alleging this thing happened nationwide. So you can go and you can put your $200 down and file a lawsuit and you can make all the big headlines on all of the media, but it still takes a couple of things to get through, you know, the court of law, to get through the front door. And you have to have a triable fact. Okay, that means you have to have something that more likely than not, where there's a preponderance of evidence that it happened, you know, meaning 51% or more, that something happened to get through that courtroom door in order to get to trial. And there's all sorts of stuff that happens before that. You know, there's the interrogatories, there's the depositions, which would be just killers for the Democratic National Convention, because then you get Hillary Clinton in there. Guess what? Everybody's under oath. Okay, so Hillary would be under oath. Donna Brazile would be under oath.
That doesn't seem to have mattered in the past, though.
Well, it does matter, and I'm going to tell you why. Because when the FBI interviewed Hillary Clinton, she was not under oath.
No,
okay?
This is true. Yeah.
All right, so now she's under oath. And they're not going to fool around that they do in these stupid congressional hearings where basically the politicians on both sides are just trying to score points and it's completely partisan. This is going to be a deposition where it's basically an in-depth interrogation. And I don't know any of those major players that are going to be able to get through that unscathed.
Well, and here's just my humble opinion. Just as an American out there working every day and, you know, handling my home and raising my family and those types of things, I'm so done with this. I just want to move America forward. I just want us to get the things done that we voted for President Trump to do and stop all this nonsense. I have just never seen such sore losers, and I want to be over this and on to the next chapter of making America a better place for all of us.
So, you know, are you done with the collusion?
I'm done. I'm over it.
And I think everybody else is too.
I think
think the problem is that this is just constantly perpetuated, you know, through that mainstream media that I don't think those guys look at themselves in the mirror or hear anything about what people like us have to say. You know, we live in a flyover state now. You know, we lived in California before with, you know, all of its political, you know, BS and everything that's going on now. But the vast majority of Americans are flyover state Americans. And, you know, we're just common sense people. And, you know, you and me are common sense conservatives. So, you know, it is what it is. Okay. And I'm sorry, I just don't buy this whole emotional argument. I want to know whether there's facts to support anything about the collusion. Like I said, we've been listening to Mueller and before that, you know, Comey and, you know, all of these, you know, surrogates and players. But the bottom line is, at least what we're getting every day is that there's nothing there.
That all those players are interconnected, and then they have a whole bunch of garbage in their bags too. So I think a lot of us just want to tune out of this. And guess what? You know, we could go to the Oyster Festival here in Texas. We could go down to a river and take a kayak. I don't want to be involved in this. Here's what people I think are interested in. I want to know where my next paycheck's coming from. I want to know if I can get ahead in life. I want my kids taught well in school. I want America moving forward and solving the problems that we have so that just for the time that we're here, we can, you know, live happily. This news cycle that we've been going through for the last year is just depressing. to people, and people are tuning out. So our politicians need to get a clue here about what we as Americans were thinking and feeling when we elected President Trump to do this job, and let this loss that they had with Hillary go and move on. And it's their responsibility, in my opinion, their responsibility to us, whether they're Democrat or Republican, to promote the agenda that we all voted for. And that's not happening. And that's just very frustrating to me.
Well, you know, when I just got back this last week from Washington, D.C., over there for a couple of days of work, and I'll tell you what, when they
talk... I was with you.
Well, I know. You know, and when we... You know, when they talk about this whole beltway mentality thing, there is really a lot of truth to that. I mean, that whole Washington, D.C. area is absolutely remarkable to me, because those people don't have a clue of what's going on. They have no idea of what people like you are worried about every day or concerned about. You know, one of the things that we're both concerned about is our employees. We both have businesses, we both have employees, and we want our employees to thrive too.
Right.
When we thrive, we want them to thrive. And we don't want to be, basically raped over the coals with excessive taxation, with, you know, with regulation and stuff like that. We have good ideas. We're entrepreneurs. We want to run our businesses, and we want our employees that work so hard for us to move us forward. We want to move them forward as well.
Sure.
And when those guys are not meeting the politicians, and I don't care, you know, sometimes I refer to them as the Republicrats, because when you watch them on TV, to me, there's not all that much difference when you really get down to it and you look at their voting records about how they vote and how they do things. You know, this whole, tax, credit thing that the president wanted to move forward, and this whole omnibus package that they basically screwed our president over on, this really shows you how they really feel about us, and how they just vote to put money in their pockets and move their personal political agendas forward, but not the agenda of the American people.
Right.
And that's what really ticks me off.
Yeah, that me too. But they did have good restaurants in Washington, D.C., I will say that.
Loved it. That Chinese place was just absolutely fantastic. You know, it's a Chinese restaurant is a good place when you see a lot of Chinese people eating
sure.
there, right?
Yeah.
So you know you're going to get a good meal. It's
Some
like when you go to an
authentic good food.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and we're both foodies. You know, it's like when I go to, you know, you and me go to a great Italian restaurant, right?
Yum.
Well, anyway, hey, you know what? Speaking of, are you over it? Are you over Comey?
Oh my gosh. I was over Comey a long time ago. But you know what? Here's what's interesting. You always had his number. And I kept trying to support him. I kept saying, no, you know, he's a good guy. Oh boy, I'll tell you what. I was wrong. And he is showing his colors now. I'm embarrassed for our country. I just cannot fathom that somebody that was the head of our FBI, our premier law enforcement agency in the country and the world, is out there with a tell-all book. And of course, he's only on the CNNs of the world and the MSNBCs and so forth.
No, I think Fox is going to get him on the 26th.
Well,
I think Brett Baer has got an interview coming up with him. I know Brent Baer's been, at least he's been talking about it on Fox. He's been studying the book and trying to figure out where Comey's coming
Aren't
from.
Aren't you just embarrassed about this, though? I mean, this is just humiliating to have this guy out here saying the things that he's saying about our president. Because what he is doing is he's saying something like, you know, oh, well, you know, I don't really know, but there could have been prostitutes peeing on the president in Russia, but I don't really know, but it could have. I mean, that is salacious to put out there so that people grab that and talk about it. This is the head of the FBI. Are you just kidding me? This is not professional.
Well, you know, for me, being involved in law enforcement my whole life and now, you know, forensics and, you know, the legal community and all that stuff, the thing that really bothers me is that there's thousands of FBI agents and support staff, thousands of them, and they go to work every single day. They've got important work to do. They're stressful works. A lot of these guys and gals put themselves in harm's way, and they just want to do a really good job and, defend the United States, defend all of us, and be the impartial law enforcement agency, the premier law enforcement agency in the United States, for God's sakes. And I just see that it's so embarrassing. I mean, you and I know FBI agents, sure. Okay? I get them in classes. I've worked with them my whole career. We have neighbors that are right. FBI agents. And it is
I
so...
I wasn't going to say that, but yes,
but it's
do.
Embarrassing for them, right? Because, I mean, you go to a barbecue or, you see them at some official function or whatever, and they're just like... Please don't ask me any questions. It is so embarrassing for them.
Okay, so remember we met the retired FBI agent in the restaurant, in the cafe here in town, and we started talking to him, and he was absolutely embarrassed to pieces about this whole thing. Older gentleman, really, really nice man that we met. And he was a big FBI agent, and he just cannot believe what he's seeing right now.
But this whole issue about the seventh floor, which is the administrative floor where the FBI, the big FBI administrators hang, that is, the stuff that's coming out in regards to that floor. Is just absolutely ridiculous. I think Comey is basically, planted a bomb underneath himself. I think he's going to self-destruct. And I think it's all going to come back on him. The thing that I fear, because of what I've seen in the recent history of what's going on and people not being indicted, people not being prosecuted for these clear legal violations. I mean, set aside the procedural violations
right.
that get people fired, the policy, administrative, violations. But this whole thing about having, the elements of committing federal felonies, federal crimes, and you're talking about the chief FBI agent, the former chief, the guy who's an attorney? I mean, who should know more about the law in his own departmental policies and whether documents are classified or not, right, is this guy. And so far, I'll reserve judgment till we get more evidence in, but so far, it does not look good for this guy. And when it doesn't look good for this guy, it doesn't look good for the FBI, and it doesn't look good for the American people.
Right. And I can't believe that Peter Strzok and Lisa Page are still employed at the FBI at all. I just can't figure out what is holding them back from getting rid of them when they broke so many of the FBI rules, that they should be gone as well. And
well,
certainly not in human resources.
Well, good
guy. Where they can still have access to material that is confidential.
Well, beyond that, they still hold top security clearances.
Yep.
My God, can you just imagine that?
No.
After all of this, if they were just a police officer, a line police officer,
right.
they would have been on administrative suspension, pending termination.
Right.
Right?
Well, if you had an employee try to subvert your industry, you would fire them immediately. And this goes to a whole other issue with me about, letting people go that are federal employees.
Well, that's a whole nother thing. Hey, let's go have a cup of coffee again. I need a cup of coffee as well.
The Out and Out Perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutloud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
tired of watching the same old sporting events?
Well, kick it up a notch and get ready, America, for something you've never seen before. It's the new generation of Western superstars. Shorty Gorham's American Freestyle Bullfighting. Who will win? The acrobatic, tough-as-nails Western superstar or the meanest half-ton fighting bulls on Earth? This is one of the most extreme sports you'll ever see in an arena. This is hand-to-horn combat on a level playing field. Go to ShortyGorhamAFB.com or find them on Facebook. It's bullfighting time.
Well, you got enough cream in that coffee?
I got cream in your coffee. I don't use cream. But did you like that little snack I brought you?
Hey, it's always great to have dessert when you're having evening coffee. So, you know, you don't mean you're not going to have me argue about that.
Can't do without my evening dessert. Hey, so did you see that Chick-fil-A just opened the largest location ever of Chick-fil-A in Manhattan?
Yeah, in downtown Manhattan. You know what? I love going to New York, okay? I love going to Manhattan.
And Chick-fil-A.
And Chick-fil-A. And now Chick-fil-A, okay? You know, I'm such a foodie, and you are too. So, I mean, but yeah, down in lower Manhattan, and I guess they're saying it's the largest one in the world, so to speak.
Oh, cool.
That they've done, so...
So was it, I heard that the New Yorker magazine said that it was like creepy.
Well, you know, there's a story behind that. You know, this big, huge Chick-fil-A that they just put in is not the first one in New York. It's the fourth one, right? And the thing that just bothers me about the whole thing is the backstory to this. So New Yorker magazine says, okay, now we've got Chick-fil-A in Manhattan, and it's a creepy, you know, company. Well, the
Christian run company.
Well, that's the backstory. Yeah, that's the backstory. Okay, so it's not just a company. Okay, it's a Christian, started by a Christian family, owned by a Christian family, and it's a chain, and it's a great place to eat, and that's what New Yorkers are finding out. You know, those of us in Texas and you know, all around the country where they have Chick-fil-A's, and you know, it's a great meal, and the service, the customer service is excellent. So, you know, what's to argue about?
Well, the argument, I guess, is that it's a Christian-run company, which I don't understand at all, because it's a well-run company and it's good food. But Mayor de Blasio proposed a boycott on Chick-fil-A, which is just beyond my imagination. Why did these guys even get involved in this? And they did it because he's opposed to the CEO, Dan Cathy. He's opposed to him donating to charities that support pro-traditional values, right? So,
yeah. Well, they've got a Chick-fil-A has got a foundation. It's a charitable foundation.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's like any other corporation that's successful. It makes a lot of money. But what they do, which I think is appropriate and give back to the community, is their charitable foundation gives to causes that promote, you know, American values, and also to political organizations that promote American values.
Right.
And I don't see a problem with it.
Well, so here's the good news. The whole thing has backfired.
Right.
Lines out the door at Chick-fil-A. Good job, America, because you know what? This is the second time that this happened with Chick-fil-A. When people have tried to boycott them, it has backfired, and the lines are just out the door. So this is what's happening in New York now. America is speaking rather than letting the politicians speak for them. And I love that.
And you know, it's so hypocritical because, you know, Chick-fil-A and the pictures that you see, you know, if you take a look and, you know, you Google a story on Chick-fil-A, there's like hundreds of people, not only inside the restaurant, but standing outside the door waiting to get a chicken sandwich. And I think I read where they sell a chicken sandwich every 6 seconds. Well, but here's the bottom line. There is tax money that benefits the city of New York, yet that hypocrite de Blasio, that, by the way, had to give final approval to major corporations coming into the city. So he's the guy that gives approval to it. And then he turns around and you know, stabs him in the back by, you know, trying to promote a boycott against Chick-fil-A that is bringing tax money into the city of New York, right?
Right, right.
I mean, this guy is a total jerk. I can't believe that he got elected again. But, you know, you and I, we have good friends that live in, New York City and Manhattan specifically. Unfortunately,
love to go there.
The conservatives didn't have a candidate where they could get enough, support to defeat him. But he is just despised. OK, I mean, I don't know where the heck this guy is coming from. But
well, here's a guy who's against Chick-fil-A, a Christian-run business, but yet he's all for illegal aliens coming in and working in New York. So I don't even get that. This is just, this dichotomy to me is too much.
Well, that's a whole different story.
So I was watching the news, One American News Network, and they have these wonderful history moments that they put kind of in between before the commercial. And I love watching those because they're just things that we all need to know and remember from history that we never get to see. So today I was watching this, and there was Bill Clinton on the television when he was president talking about immigration. And he was talking about that we were going to, as a country, do more to secure the border, and that the people that are illegal immigrants that are taking jobs from Americans is unacceptable, and that the public services that they use impose burdens on our taxpayers, and that he was going to see that we deport twice as many criminal illegal aliens, as before, and that he was going to crack down on illegal alien hiring and so forth. And I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, wow, what's happened? I mean, what happened to make it so different now? Because I know when President Obama was there, he was completely the opposite. We had illegals pouring over the border that he was just fine with. And we have California saying, no, we're going to protect them all. And not just California, but other states as well. And we have sanctuary cities and sanctuary states. And Bill Clinton, being a Democrat, was totally fighting this. What happened to turn this all around?
Well, this whole narrative has changed over the years. And, America is a melting pot of immigrants. We've always been a melting pot. I'm first generation American. You're second generation Dutch. And, our folks came here like everybody else did, but they went through a vetting process, right? I mean,
right.
My dad, when he came to this country, and my mom, but my dad especially, spoke five different languages, okay? Five different languages. And, speaking two or more languages when you come from Europe is not out of the ordinary at all. My dad learned, Russian and German because he was at one time he was a prisoner of war during World
right.
War II, and he's in a prison camp before
too.
He escaped, But, here's an educated man. I mean, he was a doctor when he came here, and he goes right back to school. Okay, and to take night classes to become an American citizen. And he was in those schools, in that school for months learning that. My mom the same way. Now it's all different. It's this whole damn entitlement thing that just really, as my mom used to say, frost my socks.
And, I like that saying.
But that's the narrative that's going on. You just sneak across the border and, we welcome you with open arms. Well, that's not the way this goes. And I'll tell you what, as a person, we get a lot of, illegal aliens sneaking across the border from Central America and from Mexico, okay? I speak the language fluently, and I know the culture fluently. And I'll tell you what, when I talk to Mexican Americans, in other words, Mexicans that were Mexican citizens that have come over and spent their time and gone through our vetting process and appropriately became American citizens, they're angry about this.
Sure.
Because they feel that they're getting cheated. They're getting cheated by this country, and they're getting cheated by these illegal aliens that just, get across the border, and all of a sudden, because of the ridiculous laws that we have on immigration, on catch and release, that these people can just come in and get amnesty. I mean, what's the point of becoming an American citizen?
Well, I wrote down, because I kept replaying this little snippet on the television, because I just found it so interesting. And I wrote down President Clinton's exact words, and he said, It is wrong and self-defeating for a nation of immigrants to allow the kind of abuse of our immigration laws that we are seeing, and we must do more to stop it. And I just thought that that was so interesting because we just have had these 1,500 people coming up through Mexico to, you know, make this big point and enter America. And then Trump countered that by putting the National Guard on the border. Good for you, President Trump. And now they've reached the border and there's only 50 of them left now. And some, and they're just sitting there on the border. So they're not over the border because now we have the National Guard there. Some say that they will be applying for asylum and so forth, but they're going to have to go through a vetting process for that. So I just think that this has, it's gone the way this time that it should, as opposed to when President Obama was there and we had thousands of people pouring across the border. And we had all these stations, way stations down there, you know, giving them food and shelter and bedding and so forth while they were crossing the border. So I just think finally, we're at a point where we're taking some correct steps here to help Americans. And actually, it helps everybody. But you know, Governor Brown needs to get a clue here as to how this works, but we're not there yet with California.
Well, one of the things that really ticks me off, and you and I get, we're blessed, we get to travel all over the world, and you know, we were in Europe last year, we're going to be in Europe again this year. And when we talk to law enforcement people and citizens, for instance, in Italy, because we spent a lot of time in Italy, you know, they tell you about all the problems that they have now that they become the European Union. You know, last year we were everywhere from, you know, from Budapest, Hungary, all the way up to Amsterdam. Mm-hmm. And, you know, going through, you know, we took a river cruise, right? So we're in like Austria and Germany and, you know, going up to Holland and everything. And every single country we were in, we saw problems. Okay, now we had a wonderful time.
Right.
Okay, but when you talk to the law enforcement people, right, the frontline troops there, they will tell you that they are just besieged with problems because they have no borders and they have no culture anymore. You know, and I'm sorry, but I am a person that loves national values. I love our national culture. I love the idea of a melting pot of immigrants, but the key is assimilation to me. Okay.
Right.
Accepting and embracing the values of whatever country you're in instead of, you know, not paying any attention and not being compliant with the rule of law, with whatever country you're in. And that's the problem that I see with what we're getting from Central America and from Mexico. And we got a place in Mexico. You know, we're down there a lot and love the Mexican people and love the culture. But this is all politics, okay? Because you know on the southern border of Mexico how stringent they are
absolutely.
From people coming up from Central America,
yeah.
right? And you remember
yes.
when we went to Costa Rica and how protective they were of their country? But yet, when you come up to the United States border with Mexico, that whole paradigm changes.
Yes.
And it's all political. And that's what bothers me. Because, you know, for years, the United States of America has been the pressure relief valve for Mexico because they can't get it squared away with respect to their economy and jobs and how much people make. And that's why they come to the United States.
Right. But if you and I wanted to go over the border the other way and stay in Mexico, we would not be allowed to do so. You have to prove what value you bring by your employment or your financial
You gotta have a bond.
You have to prove your worth to Mexico, not Mexico's worth to you. And this is the whole difference. So it's really kind of hypocritical, the whole argument, because the people that want it one way don't have it the other way. So, you know, the other thing when you're talking about Europe that I loved about Europe is in Italy, we were at the opera. And it was an outdoor event.
Oh, that was
and
absolutely gorgeous.
They sang
that was
the Italian national
anthem.
And I have never seen every person in that stadium stood up and sang it at the top of their lungs. And it was so beautiful and so patriotic. And I would love to see that here. And the other thing about Italy, or not just Italy, but all of Europe that struck me is from many years ago, going to Europe and going today is vastly different in that places like England, like France, Belgium, like Holland, all these different places that really had their own flavor and their own
culture,
yeah. Right. But it was truly their own language, their own, you know, way of doing things. And you knew when you were in that country that you were in that country. And it really is becoming such a melting pot that it's all blurred. All the lines are blurred now.
Right.
And I just truly hate to lose that, because the beautiful thing about going to Europe always was those beautiful countries and the differences among them. And now they look nothing like they used to look.
No, and that's so true. And you've got to have that. You have to have some flavor of nationalism, okay, of national pride. Yeah, I want to go back when we were in Verona to the opera there in the Colosseum. And a lot of people don't know. Everybody knows about the Roman Colosseum, mm-hmm. right? And it's certainly beautiful. But, you know, Italy's been, you know, actually invaded by everybody in the whole right. world, right? But when they came through there, you know, people, unless you've been to the Colosseum and you get to history, people don't know that the outside of the Roman Colosseum was actually walled in beautiful marble, okay, and it was held on by these gigantic brass brackets, okay. But when, you know, the hordes of invaders came in, they stole all that marble, so now it just looks, you know, like it's a stucco,
right,
you know, background.
Right.
But if you go to Verona, that's where the other grand Colosseum is. That is still put together.
It's still
right?
put together just like it was.
And it's absolutely
my gosh.
Gorgeous. And I have never, believe me, you and I have been to many, many major events and concerts and things like that, but I think you would agree with me that we have never seen anything like that in our entire lives.
Yeah.
Where you get 35,000 Italian citizens standing and all saying, you know, singing the national anthem.
Yeah.
Me being an Italian, but an American, it brought tears to my eyes. But that's the beauty of national pride.
Right.
Okay. I mean, that's what gets me. And now you just see the vestiges of it, and it's nothing like what it used to be. So, are you ready for a filler?
I'm ready for a filler.
Let's get one.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
Okay, so I'm glad I switched to decaf.
You know, I don't want you up all night. That's no fun for me.
Okay, so speaking of things that frost my socks, I just got to talk about this English professor from Go Figure, California, over at Fresno State, Rhonda Girard. Okay, so we lost, unfortunately, I think one of the greatest women in this part of the, you know, the 20th century,
this
moving
era,
into the,
sure.
the 21st century, you know, Barbara Bush. Okay, what a life, what an amazing life, what an amazing history. And, you know, we all get old, unfortunately, and, you know, we all pass. But what is the deal behind this English professor, Gerard, just disrespecting Barbara Bush? I mean, referring to her by the B word, saying that she was glad this woman had passed. I tell you what, I just don't get it. I can't even, with my background in psychology, I can't even wrap my hands around the type of mentality and the viciousness and just the vitriol of people like this professor that would disrespect this poor woman that did nothing but give back to our community, especially in the area of literature and education. I just don't get it.
Right. Well, not only that, but the thing that kind of frosts my socks about this is her blatant comment about that she is a tenured professor and you really can't do a thing to me about what I want to say. And that just, you know, I just have this whole thing about tenure that it shouldn't be that you can't be fired if you don't do a good job just because you're tenured.
You know,
I don't think that should even exist.
Don't even get me started as an old division dean. Okay, working in a college, old division dean. And I remember vividly, I had a couple of people that were in my department that were just absolutely horrible as professors, okay? Just horrible. Nothing but complaints about these people. And, you know, when I tried to, you know, remediate them, they wouldn't go. They just laughed at me, right? And, you know, eventually, you know, I tried to get them, I'll be honest, I tried to get them out to pasture and I'd put them in a different area. And, you know, then I'm having a meeting with the president of the teachers union for the college, which will be unnamed in California. And that guy, you know, you know, he just said, hey, look, you know, here's the bottom line. These are tenured people and they're going to be here longer than you are. And then, well, you know what? They were right. And I was glad later when I finished my term to go.
It's so unfair to our kids for me as a parent to think about those kind of people teaching my children. It just is wrong. And I don't even know who does the hiring in these schools to let somebody like this even work there, much less keep them.
Well, so, I'm with you. I mean, the vetting process, there should not be a tenure process.
No.
There just shouldn't be. You should be able to be fired for cause. And if you're coming up in public with these statements, just think about what she's saying in that classroom to those impressionable, ignorant students.
Oh, I know. But the best news about this is that now, because of all the hubbub, she's asked for a leave to not teach next semester. Good. She doesn't need to. So long. So I'll tell you what frosts my socks today.
All right, your turn.
Okay. So again, we're talking about First Lady Barbara Bush, that she passed. And at the funeral, Melania Trump was at the funeral and she sat next to President Obama and Mrs. Obama. And she had a smile on her face. And rather than anything else about this historic funeral, the media focused on Melania's smile and said that she was smiling more with President Obama than with her own husband. And I just thought that was disgusting and unnecessary, rude, and I don't have enough adjectives to say how I feel about how disgusting that is to me.
Well, you know, poor Melania just can't get a break.
No.
Okay, she just can't. And nobody in that Trump family can get a break. And that's, you know, something for, you know, a different conversation.
Well, she's a beautiful woman. And I mean, you could go into a whole conversation, which, you know, is too time consuming right
she's
now.
She's got her own accomplishments.
She's got
her own business. She's a successful businesswoman. She was a successful model. She speaks three or four different
languages.
She's
never even on the cover of a magazine as other presidents' wives have been for their attire, right? So she is completely ignored by the media unless it's something to make fun of her. And this is just over the top to do at a funeral.
Well, me for one, and I'm going to speak as a man, I think this is a very classy woman. I mean, I am so impressed every time. She's mesmerizing every time I see her. And she is only trying to give back to our United States community and do the good things. So let's talk about some good news today.
Well, let's stay on Melania for a second. So while Melania was in Houston for this funeral, she took time out to go visit with the law enforcement in Houston, thanking the officers and recognizing them for their contributions. And I just think that that was wonderful of her.
I saw the selfie. I loved it. It was outside Air Force One or Air Force Two, whatever they let Melania fly around in while the president is engaged back in Washington or wherever. And I mean, as an old law enforcement dog, and especially going over the past, 8 years, where, people in that administration were very anti-law enforcement. It's a good feeling thing. You know, and I'm glad you brought it up as an item of good news today, because we need that shot in the arm in law enforcement and for the first member of the first family to take time. And she didn't have to do that.
Right.
She didn't have to do that at all. You know, to take time to gather the various law enforcement agencies and officials around. And these are line guys. These are, these are ground pounders. They're not chiefs of police or anything.
No, but they're the guys in the security detail. Doing the work. They are the
exactly.
guys that are doing the work.
And to take time, and because they all get something out of it, right? I mean,
sure.
Who gets to take a picture with the First Lady or for the president? I mean, it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
We finally have a president that is in the corner of law enforcement, and it's such a paradigm shift for us to just have somebody have the backs of law enforcement finally, because we really have been under fire for the last 8 years, and this is just so good. So I love that she went out there and took the time to thank them and say hello and just make sure that they knew that she was there for them.
So thanks so much, Melania. We love you. And we're right in your corner.
So here's another funny good news thing that was interesting to me today. So there's a family, Jay and I don't know if I'm going to say this right, but Kateri Schwant in Michigan, that have 13 kids.
Oh my God. She's been busy.
And all of them are boys. And I don't even know how that biologically happens. The odds of that have to be crazy, but they just had their 14th child. And guess what it was?
Was it a boy?
A boy. Another boy.
Let me guess. So what a gene pool.
So they're trying to figure out a name still, but congratulations to them. But I would love to know the odds of having 14 boys and no girls.
So you got a baseball team with plenty in reserve. You got an entire football team with with three in reserve. So
right.
God bless you. God
I know their
bless
age
you.
From their ages are from 25 down to a few days old here.
Do you remember our friends over in the Dallas area where they bought the brand new house a couple of years ago, and they have such a big, remember Craig?
Yeah,
LJ,
sure.
And his wife, and they got a beautiful house, and because their family is so big, they actually had to bust out a wall of the house, and they brought
yes.
it out another, what was it, 25 feet or something?
Huge dining room table.
And the son, who's a furniture maker, made that table where you had to sit, 30 people in that dining room table? Oh my God. You can bet that family's going to be the same thing.
Yep. Well, speaking of good news, I don't even know if it's good news, but I saw this story today that I just thought was hilarious. I thought you would enjoy it. So there's a comedian by the name of Brian Sharp, and we've all heard about the Starbucks debacle where they arrested the two black men that went in and they didn't buy anything, and they got arrested because they wouldn't buy anything and they wouldn't leave, right?
Right.
So Brian Sharp, actually, he's a conservative guy, and he thought it would be funny to go into the Starbucks and ask for reparations for what happened to those two black men.
Because he's a black guy.
Right. Okay, he's a black comedian. So he went into the Starbucks, and he asked for reparations, and he asked for his free cup of coffee for the reparations. And the poor girl at the counter said, are you kidding? Is this for real? And he said, yeah, I get reparations for this. And she said, okay, I'll give you a free cup of coffee. And she did. And he had made a bet with somebody earlier. And he had said, I bet if I do this, I'm going to get on national news. And there he was
on national.
If you put
it up on YouTube. And that's it.
There he was on national news. It was just really funny and a very cute little little thing that he did?
I absolutely thought it was funny because he fit right into the narrative, right, of what the mainstream media wants to do, and it worked out so funny for him. So congratulations, and now I'm going to have to Google him and watch more stuff with him. Hey, I want to talk about, a young man that is starting to develop some just wonderful American values of give back, and the kid's only 5 years old. His name's Grady Vallon out of Henderson, Nevada, okay? And so, I mean, just think about the mindset of what it would take for a five-year-old young man to approach his mom and say, hey, I want to do a lemonade stand, and I want to take all the money from my lemonade stand, and I want to donate it to fallen officers. Okay, officers that have been killed in the line of duty, their families. Can you just imagine of that type of mindset?
Well, no, and you know, he has the entrepreneurial mindset, which I love already, because he did a lemonade stand before, but it was to earn money for Legos for himself. So now he's changed it to wanting to give money to a really worthy cause. And so he did have his lemonade stand.
And he made over $400 on that lemonade stand. And, you know, the Henderson, Nevada Police Department, and you know, which is near Las Vegas, right next door to Las Vegas, they'd had such a nice gesture. And they heard about what Grady was doing, and they invited him to the police department, gave him a little police department uniform, and brought out the SWAT vehicle and the canines and all this really cool stuff, put him in the patrol car.
With the sirens
with the lights
going.
And sirens, and got him a little badge and everything. Yep. And, you know, just to thank him for the support of law enforcement. And, you know, I actually echo what one of the SWAT guys said when they asked about him. And he said, you know, if this is the way this guy is thinking right now at 5 years old, he'll make a fantastic police officer.
Oh, sure.
With that attitude. So,
yeah, you know, great entrepreneur.
Absolutely.
You know, coming from me as an entrepreneur, I love that.
So hats off to you, Grady, and God bless you.
Well, and here's one more good news story that I hope happens. President Trump is considering pardoning Jack Johnson. And as you know, you know more actually about Jack than I do.
Jack Johnson historically was a black prize fighter. He was a boxer and actually became the world champion. But the problem with Jack in those days,
it was 1912, right?
1912 is that his lover, longtime girlfriend, was a white gal.
Right.
And in those days, right, with discrimination, you just didn't do that. And as a matter of fact, there was actually a federal law at the time.
The Jim Crow laws and the Mann Act.
Exactly. The Mann Act. Mm-hmm. And he and his girlfriend went across state lines so he could, you know, attend a boxing competition. And he was arrested for that. And actually, he was put in jail for that.
Right. Right. So, you know, this request has happened several times with other presidents who have refused to pardon him. And I think that President Trump is going to do it. I hope he does. It's time that he does this. This is not a man that was a criminal in any way, should have gone to jail. He simply was a man in love.
You know, and hats off to Sylvester Stallone, obviously Rocky,
right,
who got a hold of President Trump. And, you know, the first thing I thought to myself is, how interesting is that? Where Sly Stallone can call up the President of the United States, right, and say, hey, I need a solid here, right?
Right.
And, you know, and hats off to President Trump for talking about moving forward with pardoning dear Jack Johnson, who brought so much to all of us in the boxing world.
So one of the things that you and I like to do, Ron, because we hear so much bad news every day, is we actively look for who our heroes of the day are, because there are heroes out there every day, and I want to know who they are and what they're doing. So, you know, we kind of have three people today that I just want to mention that are heroes to me. I'm sure that they are to you. And the first hero is, there's a little lost girl in Australia, 3 years old, who wandered away on property. Apparently her grandparents have a large piece of property, and she was out overnight, and they did find her, which is great news. But the hero of this story is the 17-year-old dog who stuck with that little girl throughout the night and protected her. So I don't know the dog's name, but that little dog is a hero in my book.
And you know, we're dog lovers, so we love the dog stories.
Yep. The second hero happened in the Waffle House.
With right. The active shooter at the Waffle House in Nashville, Tennessee.
Right.
And we had a guy, show up at the Waffle House and undressed. He had a coat on, but he didn't have anything underneath it.
Right.
Which tells me something about maybe he's under the influence of drugs or something. They've got the suspect identified. He hasn't been caught yet. But he removes the coat. He's got a semi-automatic rifle, and from outside the Waffle Hut opens up as an active shooter and shot and killed several people and then fled the scene. But before he fled the scene...
Well, he fled because...
And here's the heroic thing.
Right, because he started fumbling with the weapon. And that is a moment in time that is... Somebody has to act. So this man in the Waffle House acted. He saw him fumbling with the weapon. He tackled him. He threw the weapon over the counter and chased the suspect out. And this is something that is so close to your and my heart because
we teach active shooter.
We teach active shooter, response to active shooter.
And surviving active shootings.
And that is one of the ways that you survive is that you get on the offensive and you do something at the moment if they're reloading or the gun jams.
Exactly right. And that's what happens a lot with semi-automatic weapons. These weapons jam and you've got to take that opportunity and fight.
And I think our big hero of the week
is actually a neighbor.
Tammy Jo Schultz. Tammy Jo was the pilot on the Southwest airplane, which I think we live on Southwest airplanes, Ron.
We were just there the other day.
Yep. And she was the one when the engine blew that landed that plane.
And that's a tremendous feat. And also to her flight crew that assisted with that and also meaning the flight attendants and everything, because that was a tragedy, but it could have been completely averted. And by the way, the one thing that's interesting about Tammy Jo is that she was the first female fighter pilot aviator in the United States Navy. And so this is a gal that long before Southwest Airlines was self-initiated, motivated, and broke that glass ceiling and became a naval aviator, which is no small accomplishment.
Right.
So hats off to you.
Hats off to her.
And God bless that you live in Texas. So.